Hello, hello, my fellow podcast people. I hope you're doing very, very well on this fine Friday evening, or whatever day and time it is for you right now as you're listening to this podcast episode. I'm your host, as per usual, Azrin, the language nerd. You can find me primarily on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and YouTube, but also secondarily whenever I feel like posting on TikTok and on Tumblr. My username on all these platforms is exactly the same. It is at Polyglot Azrin. That is spelled P-O-L-Y. G-L-O-T, A-Z or Z, depending on your country, R-E-N. And welcome to another podcast episode. I'm very, very excited, as per usual, to be recording this one here. I'm currently sitting in a parking lot. I am about to meet up with a friend. He's actually literally calling me right now, interestingly enough. So, give me one moment. There we go. Okay, he just called me. I think he butt dialed me or something, because literally my phone started to ring, and when I answered the phone, I just heard some random background noise, so it is what it is. I assume he's on his way, whatever. Anyway, let's move on to this podcast. I'm sitting in a parking lot. I'm about to have dinner with my one friend and one of his new friends. I haven't met them before, but my one friend invited us all out here tonight, and we're gonna grab some Korean barbecue, which, by the way, interesting fact, I've never actually had Korean barbecue before. And I was thinking, right, because I have had a decent amount of international food. Like, I've had a lot of Chinese food, I've had a lot of Indian food, a lot of what we might call North American food. I've had food from different parts of the USA. I've had, like, you know, Vietnamese food. I've had Ethiopian food. I've had, you know, lots of a pretty wide variety of cuisine from different regions in the world. And as I'm driving to this restaurant, I'm kind of thinking to myself, like, I've never had Korean food. I mean, I've had kimchi in the past, but even the kimchi I had, I don't think it was very authentic at all, because I just got it from random fast food kinds of places. But ultimately, I am very, I guess you could say, I'm a little bit of a noob when it comes to Korean food. So it's going to be a very interesting experience. I hope that they have some things that are vegetarian, because for those of you who don't know, I am vegetarian. But yeah, I guess we'll find out in the next 10, 15 minutes when I walk into the restaurant and see kind of what types of foods they have. Now, I want to kick things off with a few life updates that are language learning related. First and foremost, today was the very first Chinese conversation club that I attended. So there's a couple of students, native Mandarin speakers, who decided to put together a club at my university to help out Mandarin learners and help them to improve their Mandarin. And so today was the very first meeting, and I went, and it was amazing. it was amazing in a way that you would not necessarily expect. So I walk into this room, right? We walk in, it's literally like there's three of us in there that are learning Mandarin, and there's about, what, nine people? Yeah, roughly nine people who are native Mandarin speakers. So we are the learners, us the learners, are grossly, I guess you could say, are grossly outnumbered by the native speakers. But for me, that's amazing. I know for some people that might be a little bit intimidating, but I was excited, because the second you're in a room where the majority of the people speak your target language, this is a good sign. This is usually a good thing. This means that there's going to be lots of Mandarin conversation happening, and it's going to be more difficult to cop out and speak in English. And I was right, especially because throughout this whole event, especially because it was the first one, there were a lot of, I guess you could say, logistics being set up. In other words, trying to figure out what kinds of activities were going to be done. You know, they were trying to figure out what levels the three of us that are learning Mandarin are at. And I think there was quite a disparity between our levels. I was definitely the most advanced one there. There's one guy who literally has been learning Mandarin for like a month, 2 months. And another guy who has a level that's definitely lower than mine, but definitely higher than the pure beginner who was there. So they're trying to figure out, and I guess you could say account for the different levels of people that were there. And so what this meant is a lot of the native speakers, because they are friends, they were speaking a lot and having just discussions and debates about the different types of games we should play, how we should adapt the games. And this was fantastic listening practice for me. And so the small bit of disorganization that led to a lot of spontaneous conversation worked very much in my favor, very, very much. And I was thrilled. I was like, yes, this is great. And I was proud of myself because during many of these, or really all of the different native spontaneous conversations that were happening, I was probably understanding, I would say 60 to 75% of everything, which is great. I was thrilled. And it made me feel, I guess I got a bit of a flashback, you could say. I got a flashback to when I went to France at the age of 15, and also, well, yeah, 15 primarily. It gave me a flashback to that moment. And it even gave me a flashback to when I went to Peru for the first time. Because when I went to France and Peru, both those countries, right? When I went, I was not, you know, especially Spanish. When I went to Peru, my Spanish was not fantastic. It was eh. It was okay. I was still learning. There's a lot I didn't know. And I remember that there were so many, throughout the whole day, I was immersed in Spanish, basically in scenarios where you have to engage with native speakers. And it would be really good for me because I would be trying to listen. I wouldn't understand everything. I'd probably understand 30, 40, 50, 60%, something like that. So kind of a similar percentage that I was understanding today in Mandarin. And you just kind of, you're there and you have no choice but to listen because there's nothing better to do because people are talking. You have nothing to do except try to understand what the heck people are saying and what the heck is actually going on. It's the only option you really have. And then when you can, in the odd moments where you're like, I think I can add something to this conversation, you try in your broken Mandarin, your broken Spanish, you try to add something and you try to kind of add to the conversation. And it gave me that flashback and it made me realize that, oh, this, for those low intermediate speakers, you know, people who have a certain grasp of the language but are by no means fluent at all, these kinds of environments are ideal. This is great where you're in an environment where you are outnumbered by, or rather, let me rephrase that. There are more people who are advanced or more advanced than you than there are people who are at your level or below. And so you are among the worst there. But you're in a very friendly environment where everyone's talking relatively naturally and you're able to understand enough to kind of follow the conversations, but not enough to be like, oh, this is easy. When you're in those kinds of situations, this is like a sweet spot and you can learn and acquire so many things once you've achieved that low intermediate level. This is such a fantastic kind of fantastic type of environment. And I was thrilled. I was like, wow, this is amazing for me. I've been in this in Spanish. It's helped me a lot. I've gone through this in French. It's helped me a lot. And I'm excited to kind of take advantage of this conversation club and go as frequently as my schedule allows. So this was really, really good news. I was excited. Now, it's funny. When I talk about this kind of thing, one question that I know for a lot of people that they're thinking about is, well, Azrin, you found this great environment. Good, amazing, good for you. How can I do that? How can I find that kind of environment? Let me give you a couple of strategies. Number one, this is the website I've talked about frequently, which is meetup.com, meetup.com. This website is a fantastic website to find conversation groups in your own city. So in other words, in my city, for example, I run different groups on meetup.com. I run a Spanish conversation group, a Mandarin conversation group, a French conversation group. I run many different groups. And in your city, if you have any kind of luck whatsoever, you might have people who run that type of group. If you cannot find that, you can actually start a meetup group at a relatively affordable cost, actually at a very affordable cost. You can start a meetup group and you can start the conversation group. Your level does not necessarily need to be amazing to start the group. Like, I run a Mandarin conversation group, but I am not, like, I still have a lot of Mandarin left to learn. But I'm just very clear about it. When I make that meetup group, I'm very clear to say, hey, my level is here. Here's what I can do. Here's what I can't. I'm happy to help people out who are less advanced than me. But hopefully we can get a couple native speakers or advanced speakers in the group. That's worked really well for me, despite the fact that our Mandarin group is very small in Calgary. I don't have a lot because we don't have, you know, we're not in a city where learning Mandarin is incredibly popular. It's probably the minority of people who are trying to learn this language. And so it's a small group. There's not that many of us, ultimately, and there never have been very many of us. But We've attracted some native speakers or some more advanced speakers who can help out. I get lots of good practice, you know, and it's still a very useful kind of thing. So this is one resource that you can definitely use. Some of you, if you don't live in a larger city or if you're unlucky and, you know, that group, let me actually rephrase that. For the people who are in a very small town or village, I don't know if there are people like that who are listening to this. I understand that it's going to be incredibly difficult, a lot more difficult for you to find meetup groups to join. As a matter of fact, if you are in a large city, you essentially have very little excuse as to why this meetup strategy would not work. Because either you could find a group, or either you could make the group. You can really hack this. Now, if you're in a small city, if you're in a very small city or town or village, it obviously complicates things a little bit. And maybe the strategy is not the most practical thing in the world. But the good news is that nowadays we have the internet. And if you don't have access to people in your own city to practice with and whatnot, you do have the internet and you can still create that type of environment. You have to do it in a different kind of way. I would use resources that I've talked about many times. I'm gonna keep talking about it because I know not everyone uses them, but and a lot of people hear me talk about stuff and they don't actually do anything until they hear me talk about it like 4 times or 5 times. So I'll mention them again, but two really good resources are italki.com, italki.com, and an application called HelloTalk that is spelled HelloTalk. With both of these applications and websites, you can find native speakers who will do language exchanges with you, who will help you practice the target language, help you practice the language you're trying to learn. So one thing you can do with this is you can actually, and I've done this before, by the way, you can actually create, you know, that false immersion environment, create that environment where you're listening to native conversations and such by doing the following, by scheduling various different talks throughout the day or various different conversations with various different native speakers. I remember when I was in China, there was a point in time where despite me being in China, I didn't really have a lot of friends. I didn't have a lot of people that I felt like I could practice with, even though I was in China, as ironic as that sounds. So what I did is I went online and I decided that I was gonna make some online friends. And I messaged, I don't know, 50 people, 20 people, 60 people, I don't know, a lot of people to be like, hey, can we do some language exchange? You help me with Mandarin, I'll help you with English, etc., right? And I found probably 4, 5, 6 people, and there would be days where I would talk with one person from noon to 1:30, and then from 1:30 to 3:30, I talked to another person, and 3:30 to 6 p.m., I talked to another person. And I would have like hours upon hours scheduled in days where I'd be talking to different people. And all of a sudden, I was having lots and lots of practice. And one thing that you can do as well, that I'd recommend, I guess you could say, simple language, that I'd recommend is, you know, when you find this language exchange partner, right? A lot of people just do conversation, which is fantastic, by the way. But the fact of the matter is that the way that the native speaker speaks with you is probably not how they speak with their friends, right? And so what I'd recommend is that you find some kind of online video, a short one, short online video, or even a very short podcast, or something where there is natural conversation taking place. Video is probably the easiest way to find it, I would think. Then I want you to ask whatever native person you have found through HelloTalk or italki, ask them, right? Be like, hey, I'm trying to understand this video, and break the video down with them one sentence at a time. Break it down. What are the new words? What grammar points are going on? Why are they pronouncing this word this way? Listen to it with them until you understand. And that's going to help you understand and get used to hearing natural speech and understanding natural speech. So if you don't have that in-city luxury that I might have in Calgary, which is a very multicultural kind of city where you can find, it can be difficult, but you can find resources for different languages, right? If you don't have that luxury that I do, or maybe many of you do who live in larger cities, you know, this is still a very practical way that you can do it. So that's definitely something that's on my mind today as I went to this conversation club today. It's a big thing that I wanted to point out. So on a similar note, I've been doing something similar in French lately, despite my very high level. In French, what I've been doing is just going to the French Center on my campus, at my university, And it's basically a similar concept. You go, it's a room where there's lots of native French speakers or a couple of them that hang out. And the purpose is for people to go and either get homework help or get conversation practice. And this was, even when I was back in university in my first degree, this was a very useful tool for me to even just maintain my French. Because at the time, I remember feeling like I was kind of losing it. There's a certain period where I was. And this is a great tool for me to maintain the French that I had. Another thing I want to talk about here, and then this will be the last thing, and I will have to go into the restaurant because I think they might already be inside, but we'll see, is the following. It's that what's going on in my mind when I am speaking different languages? And this is an interesting little thing that I want to point out, because I think, you know, we can all go through the language learning experience, and we can all go through similar experiences, but we all interpret them in very different ways. Does that make sense? And because of the fact that we all interpret these experiences in unique ways, what tends to happen is that, you know, some of us might take a class and love it, and others go, I hated it. And by the way, this is how life works in general. Some of us eat chicken and love the chicken. Some of us eat chicken and go, oh my God, I can't eat animals. This is a dead thing. I don't want to eat it. Ah, I'm going to go vegan. Like, we have the same, we have different reactions to the same stimulus, to the same things. And so it's obviously natural. This is a thing that happens in all of life. But I want to point it out because we need to be very mindful of what is happening in our brains when we are going through the whole language learning process. You need to be very self-aware and very conscious of what are you thinking when things are hard? What are you thinking and how are you feeling when things are easy? How are you feeling and what are you thinking when you're trying this strategy versus that strategy? And you have to be very mindful of them and manage, I guess you could say manage the emotions and thoughts that are crossing your mind. So I'll give you an example. I'll give you a language example, and I'll also give you a very personal example. The personal example is, I remember, you know, without giving too many details, because there's some facts that I probably shouldn't be sharing that implicate other people and whatnot, but I'll keep this as general as possible. I remember I once received some news that was extremely shocking and very scary, and it was just very, kind of turns your world upside down for a moment, or really for quite some time. And it made me start thinking some very dark thoughts. I remember when this one particular thing happened, you know, with a couple of different people and whatnot, there were some very dark thoughts that were crossing my mind, very scary kinds of thoughts. And I was aware of it. I was like, wow, these thoughts are not positive thoughts. But here's the thing. I had to go through them. I had to think about them and really give them attention to be like, there's some dark thoughts going through my mind, but I can't ignore them. I have to hear these thoughts out and figure out what's going on and process and digest some of these negative thoughts. With language learning, I had a very recent example where I was at, literally yesterday actually, I was at this department event at the university. So the university I was at, the professors organized this, I guess you could say, meet and greet event for people in the East Asian Language Studies department. And I'm there, and near the end, one of the professors who I took a class with 4 years ago, she's like, Azrin, how are you? Go take some candies. And she said it all in Mandarin. And there's some candies on the table. I didn't know the word for candy. And I was like, wait, what? Take what? Huh? And I was kind of nervous. I was like, what is she talking about? Oh my God, I just felt overwhelmed for some reason. And she's like, the candies, you know, go. I was like, oh yeah, right. Oh, and I was so jammed up. I couldn't find the words, even though it was simple enough. It was not a complicated scenario, but she happened to catch me in a moment where my brain wasn't firing on all cylinders and I just couldn't get all the right words out, right? And so I felt terrible. I'm walking out of that room feeling like, oh, literally the thought that was crossing my mind is I wanted to punch my fist through a wall and then throw my forehead through a second wall. That's how terrible, like, that's how I would describe the feelings coursing through my body, the anger, the anger at myself, like, oh my God, I need to learn more words, right? That's, I guess you could say in its essence, that's kind of a negative sort of feeling. But for me personally, I take that feeling when I'm learning languages and I use it as fuel. I go, okay, man, I gotta really chip away at some vocabulary. Like, man, I don't want that to happen again. And then I start thinking, what would I do if I walked in a scenario where someone told me to go grab something off a table, but I didn't understand the word they used. How should I respond? Let me, in my mind, visualize myself back in the same scenario, and what would I do differently? I had a similar kind of experience today, but less intense. Randomly, I heard two things, actually. One of the native Chinese speakers at this event I was at started to introduce herself to everyone, and she just said this little thing at the end to kind of wrap it up. It was basically the English equivalent of like, "So yeah, that's basically me." Like some awkward way to end off your self-introduction. And I was like, ah, I could kind of use that. That's interesting. That sounded very natural. I could incorporate that into my speech to make me sound more natural. I had a similar experience where I heard someone else, say something where they're like, "Oh, I'll take this food home." It was like a random little thing. Similar, I was like, "Oh, right, I could say that." And so it's paying attention, right? It's always paying attention to what's happening around you and the thoughts and feelings you're having inside, both positive and negative, by the way. The negative things, you have to process them. You have to really feel them. You have to become one, as wishy-washy and airy and lovey-dovey and fluffy as it sounds. You have to become one with those feelings and acknowledge them and process through them. And even when you have a really positive experience, you have to understand that, you know, you're going to have a low again. The same way when you're at the low point, you have to remind yourself that you're going to have a high point. When you're at a high point, you have to remind yourself you're going to have a low point again. You have to manage that curve, and you have to kind of go through that process yourself. It's just kind of one of those things, and I would highly recommend it. Ha, this is a very funny coincidence, and this is a perfect way to wrap up this podcast. Literally, I just looked to my left, and my friend pulled up in his car next to me. It's kind of a funny little thing, and they're definitely here. So I'm going to wrap this podcast up. Funny little coincidence. I appreciate your attention, guys, and we will talk later. Wow, that's hilarious. Okay, or wait. Oh, crap, that's not him. Ha! Okay, nope, that's a bald dude. Never mind. He has a similar car as my friend. He just looked at me because I was staring at him through the window, expecting him to look at me and wave, and then he kind of turned and looked at me, and this girl gets out of the car too, and I don't know who she is, and they both kind of stare at me, staring at them through the window. That is definitely not my friend, but they have a very similar car. Anyway, let's wrap this up. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye for now.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.